She brought that baby up there, handed it to A.L., and this little guy had no eyes. I mean, not just blind. There was no slits or nothing on his face. No eyes. He had no ears at all on his head. His little tongue was hanging down out of his mouth. He had arms like this and legs twisted around and stuck to his stomach. An awful looking little critter. A.L. tucked that little thing and held it up and said, "I want everybody here to close your eyes and pray." Shambach said, "This is one time I'm going to be scriptural. I'm going to watch and pray." He said, "I ain't about to close my eyes with everything I know about this situation." So he said, "I got my eyes wide open and I see A.A. pick up that little boy and said, 'Lord, I ask you to do a miraculous healing on this child in the name of Jesus.'" He said, "The first thing I saw was a little tongue pulled back in the mouth. The next thing I saw was two ears come out. Then I saw whirlpools form and beautiful eyes appear on his face. I saw his arms come loose, his legs come loose, and I saw the boy jump out of A.A. Allen's arms, run over to the edge of a platform that's 4 feet high with a woman standing right there, and jumped into the arms of this woman and says, 'Mama, when's the last time you saw God do something like that?'" "I ain't never seen him do nothing like that." "What does that mean?" "I ain't walking in the same place A.A. Allen is walking. God's no respecter of persons." And I have had the privilege to see the King do a lot of things, but nothing like that. And then that day, that didn't end. There was 13 people in wheelchairs, and instantly all 13 of them was healed. There was 15 people over here on stretchers. They don't bring people like that to my ministry yet. I hadn't got there yet. But he had. All 15 were instantly healed. Then 6 people come running down the aisles, had their red-tipped canes, said, "We were totally blind. We can see." All kinds of people that couldn't hear come running down. And he said, in the next hour, as screams all over the place, as garters fell off of people's neck, cancers fell out from under women's dresses, people spit up tumors and cancers in their mouth. He said, in the next hour, in a congregation of 4,000 people, everybody there that had a problem was healed. That happened, I think, in 1952. How would you like to have been there? It even hit the newspaper. How would you like to see our King do something like that? Wouldn't you love it? Yes, I would. Why do we not see him do those kind of things? Because we don't obviously pay the price. But that day, a woman paid the price. She gave her last $20, and then people began to walk by up her front where she is standing and drop money in her hand. And I think, if I'm not wrong, R.W. Shambach said it was either $260 or $360. When the service was over and all the people were healed and her baby was healed, she either had $260 or $360 in her hand to go home on. Did he say, "Give and it'll be given to you"? Did he give to her that day? Man, let me tell you. Of course, I've heard Shambach say many times, we've sing the same songs. We've praised him the same way. We've done everything known to him. We ain't never seen him do that again. But oh, if we could see him move like that. Wow. Our God, what He wants to do for us, if we would only put Him first. I would have loved to have been there that day, wouldn't you? I ain't never seen nothing like that. I've seen a lot of miracles, a lot of healings. I've seen God do some wonderful stuff, but nothing like that. But that's my goal one day, to see Him do those kind of things. I want to see it. "You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day." And then verse 6, "Nor for the pestilence," the sickness, "the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday." Now, what is going to bring all this mighty thing that we don't have to be afraid of nothing? What's going to cause this to happen to us? We got to dwell with Him, right? Then next verse, 7. "A thousand shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you." Just think, you're going to see 1,000 fall. and 10,000 over here. That's pretty big odds, isn't it? But that, is that about the odds today of people that walk holy? Is that true? You see, one in a thousand or one in 10,000 that has wisdom, that walks holy in obedience to God's Word. The rest of them's out there living in sin. You know, you could probably drive up and down that freeway out there and it'd probably be no problem to find 1,000 that are living in sin or 10,000 that's living in sin before you found one that's living holy before God. But He says 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. But it shall not come near you. Now, if you're walking holy and obedient to His Word, who's going to be protecting you from all this sickness and disease? God is. He promised it. He promised to take care of you. We don't have to be sick as Christians, but we do have to do what He says. Now, the next verse. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. I don't like seeing the reward of the wicked, especially when they're my brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, when I go to hospitals and pray for people, a lot of people that are in those hospitals say they're Christians. I give you an example of an 18-year-old young man I led to Jesus on a parking lot at DFW Airport a few years ago. I knew he had been involved in sin. He was with his daddy that day when I led him to Christ. His daddy was so happy. I told the young man, I said, now that you've come to Jesus, son, you're a new creature. You're to lay down your old life and you're to start walking holy before God. I said, I want you to know up front, God does not play games. I said, you step back in the devil's world now that you're a child of God, the devil will kill you. I said, don't you dare get into drugs or alcohol or sex or any of that stuff, because if you do, it could very easily kill you. I mean, they don't believe you. A few months later, Daddy called me on Saturday morning early. He said, Thurman, can you come down to Baylor Medical in Grapevine? I said, what's wrong? He said, my son, the one you led to Jesus, he overdosed on drugs last night. We found him in the yard this morning. And he said, this hypothermia set in. The doctor said he may not live. Will you come down and pray for him? I jumped right up, got dressed, drove down to Baylor Medical, went in, found his room. Dad and mother was in there. All the family was there. You know, when they think an 18 or 19-year-old young man's going to die, the whole family's there. Brothers, sisters, everybody. I walked in. I walked up to him. I said, son, can you talk? And his daddy said, no, son, no, Thurman. He can't speak a word. I looked at him. I said, son, can you hear me? Blink your eyes. And he blinked his eyes. I said, okay, so you can't hear me. I said, I told you to not get back in sin, didn't I? I told you that the devil don't play games. I told you this is a matter of life and death. I said, now then, the choice is yours today. Do you want to live or die? I said, if you want to live, blink your eye. Boy, you blink them 3 or 4 times. I said, so you want to live, huh? I said, there's only one way you can live now, son, and that's repent and make God a promise you won't do what you've done again. I said, if you're willing to tell God I'm sorry and I repent, I said, blink your eyes. He blinked them several times. I said, good. Now that you've told God, I said, are you going to do this kind of stupid stuff anymore? He blinked his eyes. No. I said, okay, now that you've made God that promise, He heard and the devil heard. I said, now then, I said, I'll rebuke the devil and he'll leave you and you'll get well. I reached over and laid my hands on him. I rebuked the devil. I said, Father, this is your battle. It's not mine. I just come and told the boy the truth. I said, he wants to live. He's repented. I want to thank you for being merciful to us and forgiving us when we're stupid. I said, Lord, thank you for healing the boy. I turned to walk off. I told the whole family. I said, he'd be out of here nothing flat. I walked outside and some of the family followed me out there. When I got outside the door, she said, I need to talk to you. I said, okay. She said, you're the most uncompassionate human being I've ever seen in my life. I said, ma'am, I wanted the boy to live. I want him to know this is not a game we're playing. I said, it's not a game. I said, I've learned that and I've learned what's going on. And she said, I've never seen a preacher so uncompassionate as you are. I said, that's okay. You're going to see the boy get well, too. They didn't, none of them believe me. Just a matter of hours later, Daddy called me at home. He said, Thurman, within 1 hour after you walked out that door, my son was released from Baylor Medical, and he's perfectly normal. Does God play games? No. If you repent, will He heal you? Yes. If you don't repent, what happens? You die. It's that simple. But you've got to do what the king says. Only with your eyes will you behold and see the reward of the wicked. I was watching a young man that was new to Jesus, did not believe what I told him, stepped back into the devil's world with his old friends and got knocked out on drugs and almost cost him his life. If you'd have sent a compassionate preacher down there and said, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry for what this boy done. Lord, will you, if it be your will, please, will you be merciful to him and heal him? The boy would have died. He would have died. You got to make that choice. Am I going to repent? Am I going to walk holy before God? Or am I still going to live in the devil's world? You know, it's just like a young boy the other day told me, he said, well, I've been in church since I was a kid. He said, now I'm 20 years old. I'm going to go try something else. I said, you never met the king. Oh, yeah, I've been in church all my life. I said, no, son, you don't know the king. I said, if you ever know the king, you won't never go back into that mucky junk of the devil. I said, never. I said, you don't know him. See, if you know God and you walk in obedience, he's going to bless your socks off in so many ways, you ain't never going to go back out there in that pit of hell. You don't want to be sick, do you? No, you don't want the devil's stuff. You got to walk holy. Only with your eyes shall you see and behold the reward of the wicked. Verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. What? Because you have done that. Verse 10, there shall... Yeah, okay. Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation or your dwelling place. Verse 10 says, there shall no evil befall you. How much evil shall befall you? If you walk holy before God. How much is going to come upon you? None. Zero. I love that, don't you, brother?
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website. Or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.